welcome.
We'll begin with questions. Anyone who has a question, please ask the question, and I will incorporate all of the answers into the talk.
My question is it so that suffering is a point of view, and every point of view is wholly positive in its intent?
Thank you. Is it that suffering is a point of view, he asked, and is it that every point of view is wholly positive in its intent? Speak with the fullness of the universe and beyond, so everyone can hear you.
In many religious practices, the phenomenon of ghosts and spirits is taken seriously and is worked with, for example, also in Tibetan traditions. Ghosts and spirits are, of course, also points of view, yet I understand they're being treated as vivid appearances in their own right. Now, I'm wondering what they are. Do they really have any independent, existence, or can it be treated as such? Or are they really bits of human awareness as psychic energy projected out there? And moreover, is it true or is it imagination that these phenomena can be close to us and influence us on the so-called subtle levels in unperceived and therefore uncontrolled ways?
Do ghosts and spirits exist in their own right, and or are they just points of view, and can they be present and either help us or not in subtle ways? Uh-huh. It's good to hear all these questions, so no matter what your question is, don't feel embarrassed to ask it, or even if you do feel embarrassed, ask it anyway, or shy, or fearful, or upset, or whatever. Uh-huh. Benny?
I keep thinking about this all the time. I can't understand in any way how can war, starvation, rape, violence, hunger, corruption, death, illnesses, losses of people, how can all this be positive?
Mm-hmm. Good question related to your question. Uh-huh. So how can all the atrocities that we experience in life be wholly positive?
As we understand, as you have told us, silence or non-conceptual states, all this is just a point of view. And what I want to know is, when we are totally in the rest, as you told, in the all the point of views, they rise in the awakened awareness and they just subside, they are of their own undoing. But when totally there is awakened awareness, still is there need to point of view to every moment it coming up and just subsiding? Like it may be that everything is going on, still there is silence and a non-conceptual state.
Along with the point of view?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So is there a non-conceptual state that is simultaneous to the point of view?
Yes, in a way, of course. Of course, we understand that the point of view is also not different from the awakened awareness.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. Uh-huh. Have you answered your own question?
But still, yes. For confirmation.
Pardon?
For confirmation.
For confirmation, absolutely. Uh-huh. I understand. So will I confirm that awareness is inseparable from whatever appears?
awakened awareness, still these appearances like not physical, suppose at the mental level thoughts and these things, is there any need of that to appear every moment like thoughts or feelings and these things?
Is that necessary every moment?
Is it necessary and does it happen, I'm asking? Does it keep on happening that we have always always having the thoughts and feelings totally in the rest?
Uh-huh.
Always it is happening. Of course, we understand that it is not separate from the awakened awareness. That's fine. But instead of a hushed silence, is there any need of it to just keep on, the ripples keep on coming up always?
Do the points of view that appear within the all-encompassing pure view of awareness, the points of awareness that appear within that, do they ever go away? Is that what you're asking? Or do they subside? Or do they change in terms of their nature? Is that what you're asking?
Of course, there is nothing like, I'm not asking that it is changing because there is nothing to change.
Uh-huh.
We know that it
yeah.
is already in the... It is nothing, it is not separate from awakened awareness.
Uh-huh.
So there is nothing to change because when we take the standpoint that either it is positive, negative or neutral, then only there is a question of changing or anything. When we understand that there is already, it's a point of view, if thought is coming, it's a point of view and it's not separate from the awakened awareness. But what I'm asking is, still when we are totally, when we know that and the silence, this rest is totally established in the being, when we know that our individual is not substantialized and we know that we are not this and we are this, still, is that just keeps coming and happening or just how it is like?
Does it just keep coming, all the thoughts and emotions? Very good.
Whereas resting in awareness is discovered the supreme reality of allowing everything to be, or that realizing that nothing has to change, and that resting in awareness is the beginning and the very end of the practice in itself. And if to call it, not even fruition is the wrong word, but great benefit, great beneficial intent, is what will manifest as a result of resting in awareness. Could it be that immediately, as soon as we begin to rest in awareness, great beneficial intent will manifest in our actions? Like resting in awareness, it's not a license to act irresponsibly, but surely immediately it can begin to direct our actions honorably, as opposed to if I wait until I'm completely resting in awareness without fail and that then I'll do great things.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, say, with intermittent resting in awareness, can this point of view actually act with great beneficial intent or some beneficial intent? As a point of view,
are the beneficial powers of awareness available right now, or do we have to wait in order for them to show up?
Sometimes you said that some people are ready, some are not ready, and that's it. And then you smile and say, some are not ready, and it's okay, it's perfectly all right. And when you say that, then immediately I get the tightness and I think, oh my God, some are not ready. Most probably I'm not ready, which is my point of view in the end.
Oh.
Still not good enough to get it.
Oh,
like
yeah.
It. But when you say that some are not ready, so what is about these ones who are not ready? Because they have this strong urge, like everybody else, and then it's just not ready.
Good. Uh-huh. Okay. Very good. Stefan asked what I say is that some people are ready to rest as awareness and other people aren't. And that's just the way it is, and that's okay. And then he described that whenever I say some aren't ready, he gets a clutching feeling within himself that says, I'm one of the ones who's not ready. What to do.
Is it, so this awareness is master of all phenomena, everything. Is it beneficial to the whole to use that mastery over all phenomena, maybe in one thing, like somebody would use it in music, somebody will use it in healing, somebody would, you know what I mean? Instead of saying, sitting and thinking I can do it all, like being a jack of all trades, but with full awareness.
You know, uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh. Great. Does the beneficial intent of wisdom awareness appear in lots of different ways? For example, teaching, healing, whatever it might be. Or is it necessary to be a master of all these things? There's water right outside the door there, to the right, and that big cooler in here. Oh, I already had a drink out of this, but, or I'd give you some. You don't want to drink out of my glass. Won't say any more about that. But anyone else? Another question?
Basic and perhaps stupid question, but I was trying to ask it yesterday. How do we rest? I mean, I want to rest, okay? But
good.
I was thinking about it yesterday, I wasn't resting. I was trying to understand how do I rest, so I wasn't resting.
Oh, that's a fantastic question. Not stupid at all. There's no one stupid in the Great Freedom Teaching. No matter who comes here, even if you think you're stupid, there's no one stupid here. So, you know, the reality of awareness, that which connects us with our fundamental nature of being, is that, I'm going to just start now, Shah. The reality of the fundamental nature of our being is that it's our awareness that connects us with that. Without awareness, the fundamental nature of being is just an abstract concept. It's something we can't really get a hold of in any way. So it's in our awareness of the fundamental nature of being and the inseparability of those two that we really find what we are, and we're able to abide as that in every moment of daily life. And what that means is that awareness is like the vast expanse of infinite space. It's entirely pure and uncontrived. It's never been made into anything. It's never been made into causes. It's never been made into effects. It's never been made into contrivances of any kind. It's the essence and the nature of everything, no matter what appears. So with that little bit of information about what awareness is, we can take it a step further and say, because awareness is uncaused and unaffected and uncontrived in every way, everything that appears is an appearance of that non-dual awareness, no matter what it is. And every appearance, because it is an appearance of that non-dual awareness, it's also uncaused, unaffected, and uncontrived. In other words, awareness is indestructible. And awareness, as all its appearances, is also indestructible. What that means in terms of your own thinking is that it's important to gain familiarity with awareness in the same way that you gain familiarity with all the points of view within awareness. All the points of view within awareness, in other words, the thoughts and emotions and experiences, you became familiar with those through repeatedly focusing on those and acknowledging those as your identity. So just in a very simple human way, you became familiar with thoughts, emotions, and experiences as the focus of your awareness. But it's always been awareness that's predominant in those. None of them would be without awareness. Do you understand that so far? So the simplicity of resting as awareness is that rather than acknowledging the points of view all the time, awareness is acknowledged instead, the awareness that is inseparable from point of view. In taking all the points of view to be your identity, what happens is that all the labels of those points of view are assumed to be your identity. So you say, I am my thoughts, I am my emotions, I am my experiences, not only right now, but my identity is comprised of all the thoughts, emotions, and experiences I've had during my life. That's what my identity is. And in doing that, there's only one aspect of reality seen, that is seen, and that is the aspect that applies a label to everything that occurs and takes that label to have a substantive existence, in other words, to exist in its own right. So each label is seen to have an independent nature and independent existence whereby it exists in its own right. In the Great Freedom Teaching, we simplify the way all of that is stated just by saying within the all-encompassing pure view of awareness, all points of view are included and contained. And all those points of view are equal, whether you call them a thought, an emotion, an intuition, an experience, whatever you call them, they're all absolutely equal, including the point of view of a personal identity. The point of view of a personal identity, just like all the other points of view within the all-encompassing pure view of awareness, the personal identity point of view also has no independent nature and is equal to all the other points of view that appear within awareness. So knowing that, it's possible to see that the identity is really comprised of awareness. That's what its root is. The forerunner of everything we've taken our identity to be is awareness. So why not get familiar with that forerunner of what we take ourselves to be, rather, in other words, the root from which it came, awareness, rather than getting lost in all the labels. And to do that, we simply rest as awareness rather than getting caught up in the label, rather than holding to the description of what appears. So say, the idea of being somebody appears in awareness. To just rest as that without thinking, oh, do I really exist? Do I not exist? What does it mean to exist or not exist? You see, getting lost in the description. To just rest as awareness without distraction by what appears, whatever the point of view is, a thought, emotion, or an experience. So there's just the simplicity of resting as awareness. So what does that mean? It means we relax the mind. That's it. We relax the mind into its natural state. And it doesn't mean that we try to stay in that state. It means that for short moments, repeated many times, we allow that naturalness of awareness to be that we're gaining familiarity with, rather than all the labels and descriptions. And maybe in the beginning, it's just a split second or a few seconds that there is that uncontrived rest without distraction. But by persisting in that with enthusiasm and commitment, it will become so all the time without trying to do so. So in the beginning, there are a few seconds, and then that adds up to 15 seconds or 10 seconds. It's different with different people. In the beginning, for some people, it's only a split second. But at the most, it would be maybe 5 minutes of just undistracted awareness, which means that all the points of view continue to appear, whatever they are, but awareness is not distracted by them, as has been the history. Awareness is not distracted by its own self-appearances. And through gaining more and more familiarity with that, the period of time that awareness is obvious lengthens. And it doesn't matter what appears, so there's no manipulation of anything that appears. There's just the simplicity of the complete relaxation of the mind, which is awareness, without describing anything. The simplicity of that repeated over and over again for short moments, many times, until it becomes automatic. And so this is something that anyone can do. Anyone can do this. It's very, very easy. It's just a matter of what awareness does. Is awareness going to spend a lifetime lost in points of view and their description, lost in the distraction of points of view, or is it going to gain more and more familiarity with itself through resting as awareness? That's all. For a human being, it's a very simple proposition. And there's no need to try to keep a big amount of awareness. That isn't necessary. Awareness is self-kept, it's self-held. As it is all that is, simply through its acknowledgement, it becomes more and more obvious. And from the beginning of that familiarity with awareness, it's beneficial. So from the very moment that we begin to rest as awareness, we experience tremendous self-benefit. Rather than being lost in this vague haze, fog, and pollution of points of view, the points of view themselves begin to be wisdom appearances. They're beneficial appearances. When we're all wrapped up in our points of view, for all of us without exception, there are some that we want to keep around and others that we want to get rid of. And the ones we want to keep around, we can't keep them around. And the ones we want to get rid of, we can't get rid of. So you see, there's nothing in all these points of view that can ever give us any comfort or satisfaction. To persist in believing that through accumulating good points of view and getting rid of bad points of view, neither of which is possible, to persist in believing that that's possible is really madness. It really is madness. It's total madness. Why would you do the same thing over and over again and expect different results? You know, looking for satisfaction and fulfillment in accumulating good points of view and getting rid of bad points of view when there's never an end in sight. And it never leads anywhere. So in resting as awareness for short moments repeated many times, we find the complete equanimity and settledness of our natural being, the complete equanimity and natural settledness that is the ease of our own being, in which everything that appears is an appearance of awareness. It's just a self-appearance of awareness and nothing else. The identification, rather than being with all the points of view and their labels, is with awareness. And the identification with awareness is the wisdom identity. So this is the wisdom identity, the wholly positive ground of being. And it's called the wholly positive ground of being that is entirely beneficial because everything that is a self-appearance of it is an appearance of wisdom, an entirely beneficial appearance of wisdom. Now, when we think that what appears is something else, that it's either negative or positive, that it's either beneficial or harmful, and we organize our whole life around analyzing whether things are beneficial or harmful, then we get lost in those points of view. We get lost in dualist perception. We only see things as either beneficial or harmful, good or bad, causes leading to effects. Now, that's one way of looking at things, but it's a very limited use of our mind. And you could even say it's a very primitive use of our mind. when we rest as awareness beyond all the descriptions, we rest as wisdom that is without thinking. So we don't need to be thinking all the time, is this good, is this bad, is this beneficial, is this harmful, is this loving, is this not loving. That whole world of is and is not is just another world of total vagueness, whereby we spend all of our lives lost in our thoughts and emotions, and in trying to reorganize our thoughts and emotions in order to feel better. But there's no way to feel better reorganizing thoughts and emotions. They're appearances of awareness, their appearances of emptiness. So to resolve those appearances is to rest as their holy positive ground. And when we rest as that holy positive ground, we then have available to us, even in the first moment we do so, we have one moment of instantaneous awareness that is completely wise and beneficial. So just in that moment of instantaneous awareness, we give ourselves the gift of the complete rest of our natural being. And in that is amazing benefit. And then all the time we've spent lost in the arguments about political things and the arguments about what to do about war and what to do about famine and what to do about environmental degradation and what to do about our own well-being and what to do about our relationships, all of that, we just rest as awareness. And in that, we find a wisdom that is beyond all this dialogue and argument and confrontation and endless ways of trying to do things that really lead to nothing but a state of affairs for humankind and the planet that's never been worse. So you see, all of this has come out of mind. It's come out of the human mind. Everything. Everything that's going on, it's come out of the human mind. It hasn't come out of anywhere else. And the thinking that created all these problems, so to speak, is never going to solve it. And that's true within ourselves, and it's also true on a grand scale. The way we've been thinking about things as human beings isn't bringing peace to us, and it's not bringing peace to the species and the planet either. When we rest as awareness for short moments repeated many times in a completely uncontrived way, without holding to any point of view, then what appears is wisdom in that very first moment, pristine, primordial, pure wisdom, wisdom that is beyond all the need to describe things as good or bad. And in that wisdom is the solution to everything. So complete mastery over all phenomena. The ability to see solutions that are completely beyond the realm of causation. And so, you know, we show that to ourselves in the first moment we rest as awareness. We see that we really are beyond causation. Because before that, we've been saying, well, you know, I have these emotions because, or I'm having these thoughts because, I'm having these emotions because somebody did something to me, or because I don't like the leader of my country, or because my mother and father did such and such to me when I was a little kid. So you see, we describe causes and effects, and in that we feel incredibly unsettled and not at ease within ourselves. Why do we feel that way? Because it's completely unnatural to use awareness in this way, to constantly be describing causes and effects. And so when we rest as awareness beyond causation, we immediately get proof that awareness is beyond causation, that it is uncaused. And in that uncausedness of awareness are tremendous solutions to all kinds of problems that exist. We see that in ourselves when we've been completely troubled to one degree or another by our thinking and emotions, either trying to hold on to the bad thoughts or get rid of them, either trying to hold on to the good thoughts or get rid of them. And all of a sudden, there's just complete openness, wide open spaciousness, empty awareness, forever stainless awareness that is flawless like infinite space. In one instant of that, we see that all this thinking is unnecessary, that all this emoting and holding to it is completely unnecessary, that all the discrimination about everything that appears is completely unnecessary. So you see, it's very, very powerful to recognize that, because when we see that we have mastery over the appearances that seem to be within ourselves, then more and more we realize that we have mastery over other things as well. We found the solution that within ourselves that is impeccable. It's an impeccable solution. It can't be fiddled with by anyone. People can say to us, oh, why are you resting this awareness? That's stupid. Or we can even say that to ourselves. But, you know, when we rest this awareness, we see how powerful it is. Now, at 1 o'clock today, I'm going to be giving a very specific teaching on this matter. It would be good for you to be there. It's a very, very powerful teaching on resting as awareness. It's a 2-page written text. And I'm going to be giving teachings at 1 o'clock that are very pivotal instructions on the practical know-how of how to rest. And it would be greatly beneficial to you to be there. Anyone else who would like to come, you can come too. When we've spent our whole life lost in looking at everything as either beneficial or harmful, as loving or not loving, then when we begin to rest as awareness, it shatters the confines of everything we've believed. So everything we've believed up to that point is completely shattered in one moment of resting as awareness. But that's okay. You know, we don't even need to worry about that, because awareness is so benevolent, so loving, so wise, so filled with the energy of love, wisdom, and kindness, that it unfolds in an entirely beneficial way for ourselves and for others. So that, you know, there's absolutely nothing to worry about. To say things like, oh, how can I rest as awareness when there's so much suffering? Or isn't this like checking out and ignoring the big problems facing humankind? No, it's the only solution to the problems facing humankind. The constant regurgitation of opinions and doing around all of these forms of suffering that face us, whether as an individual or as a species, they've never led anywhere. You know, they've led to more war, more famine, more people in the world, and less population control, more environmental degradation. So we see more and more of this. So to keep doing the same thing over and over again that has produced these things is really foolhardy. But when we simply get familiar with our own awareness, we find something that's entirely beyond all the solutions we've been taught. We've just been taught these solutions. They're what you would call conventional ways of doing things, conventional points of view or wisdom. But within humankind, there have always been people who have complete mastery over all phenomena. And that's important for us to know, because it shows us that we do too. There are other human beings just like us. And when we rest as awareness, which is what they did, then we have the same result that they had in our lives. So you see, it's very important. All it takes is enthusiasm and a 100% commitment for that. That's what makes you ready. There isn't anything else that makes you ready. And it's easy to see in resting as awareness what's going on. if you get distracted by points of view, it isn't the time to say, oh, I'm distracted by points of view, there's something wrong with me, I'm stupid, I can't do this. That's a description. That's an elaboration. Just gently relax your mind instead of continuing to use your thoughts to punish yourself. Just keep resting as awareness in a gentle, loving way. If thoughts like, is this awareness? What is awareness? Am I really resting as awareness? If those come up, just completely relax the mind. Completely relax the mind. No need to elaborate in any way. No need to seek anything whatsoever in descriptions. Just allow the ease of being, the complete ease of being, to be as it is. Within yourself, you will find a naturally occurring compassion for yourself that is based on resting as awareness. And from that naturally occurring compassion for yourself, you will find that that naturally occurring compassion for yourself is the font of a naturally occurring compassion for everyone. Without having that compassion for ourselves and our own processes of thoughts and emotions, it's impossible to have compassion for anyone else. We know that we really are resting as awareness because the warmth of this compassion naturally arises in such a way that no one is ever left out. You know, we don't engage anymore in burning bridges or saying, you know, I've had it with you, you're out of my life forever, don't need you anymore, gone as far as I can with you. There's no escape hatch, in other words. There's no escape hatch in the single non-dual expanse. It's entirely loving and inclusive of everyone. So we relate to people in an entirely natural way that's filled with love. And how do we come upon that? Through our very own self. When we rest as awareness, then that's the ultimate kindness, the ultimate love, the ultimate wisdom we can give ourselves. And from that then flows just a very natural love for everyone, you know, a love that's super complete, a love that's super complete, that doesn't try to solve the world's problems out of political opinions. You see, solving the world's problems out of political opinions, that's stiff, like a starched shirt. It's the stiffness of mind and the stiffness of inflamed emotions. But solving the world's problems out of the naturalness of resting as complete love is an entirely different matter. Then it's wisdom and love that are the emanations of benefit rather than politically inflamed thinking and emotions. This isn't that kind of thinking and emotional activity hasn't really led us anywhere. And to believe that continuing to persist in that will lead us somewhere, like I said earlier, it's just a strange form of conventional madness. But you know, another word I could use is insanity. And so it's up to us as human beings to take advantage of the reality of our own being and to go beyond the primitive uses we've been making of the mind. We've invented all these wonderful ways of being with each other. Now we have to catch up within our own mind by seeing that all that data that's swimming around in there, that it all occurs within a basic space that is the essence of all that information. But the information itself, it really is useless. It's just applying a label to emptiness. So whatever appears in the mind, it's no more threatening than a dictionary. It really isn't. A dictionary, it can't threaten us in any way. And so the dictionary, what's in the dictionary? All the labels we use to describe everything. that came out of our mind, the dictionary. All the labels we use to describe everything, but the labels in our mind, we could call that the dictionary of our mind, they're just as non-threatening as the as when we put them down in the book. It just, we've given them a force by saying, this thought, it hurts, and so I have to do something about it. I have to think more about it in some way in order to do something about it. Same with emotions. This emotion, I have to do something about it. The doing something about it is in the inseparability of awareness and everything that appears. When we know these two aspects of everything that appears, its forever empty, stainless, flawless nature, as well as its label, then we have mastery over the label. Then we understand the appearance as it is. Otherwise, we're just lost in it. And wow, you know, the appearances we believe in are, they're never ending, aren't they? They're ceaseless, they're countless, they're unpredictable. And when we begin to rest as awareness, they might even seem like enemies. But all these appearances, no matter what they are, they're allies. They're supports for resting as awareness. They're wonderful supports for resting as awareness. As we rest as awareness, the appearances in our thinking and emotions, they naturally change. Instead of being such a demand to form and keep in place a self-identity. So, you know, before we hear about resting as awareness, a lot of our concerns are about these thoughts and emotions and experiences that are associated with the point of view of a self. So another way of stating that is that the thoughts and emotions are self-centered. They're about how to fulfill the needs of the self, substantialize it further, and keep it in place. And when we begin to rest as awareness, just in a very natural way, the thoughts and emotions just become wiser. They're already wise. It's just that we haven't acknowledged they're wise. We've looked at them as something we have to hold at bay. We've thought, well, you know, I'm at the control panel and I've got to keep these thoughts and emotions in check. Or who will? But when we rest as awareness, more and more we realize there's only awareness. There's no one at the control panel. There's no creator. There's no one at the control panel. And that's a tremendous relief. Then all the things that we've heard from other people, no matter what they are, and everything we learn about, basically, we learn from others. So then we have to decide, well, you know, what are we going to believe? It's all secondhand knowledge, so we didn't come up with any of this. It's just what we're hearing from other people. And some of the things we've heard, like ghosts and spirits or original sin or karma and reincarnation, all of these are conventional beliefs that... that are important to know as points of view. There's no point of view whatsoever, no matter what it is and no matter how many people believe in it, that has an independent nature. There isn't a single one. So none of these points of view, whether it's personal identity, ghosts, spirits, karma, reincarnation, sin, none of these points of view have an independent nature. Outside awareness. They're not a separate thing that has some kind of ability to exercise control, force, or power over anything. They're all forever empty, stainless, flawless awareness. And there's no way to get away from that. So, you know, it's really a simple choice. How are we going to use the energy of our lives? How are we going to use the wisdom energy of awareness? Or is the wisdom energy of awareness going to play around with all these little toys of points of view for its entire life and take them to be something that has an independent nature? Or boom, Are we going to just relax no matter what we're doing and go about our business in an effortless way, even if we're totally active and going all the time? We do so in a totally relaxed and effortless way. There are many powerful people in this room, all of you, in fact. So there's no special way to be, either sitting or not sitting or standing or not standing or whatever it might be. Awareness is completely uncontrived, so whatever appears, awareness is. Whether, you know, you're a powerhouse and a world leader or sitting back in your little hut somewhere. There's no special circumstance that's needed. When we get familiar with awareness, then we live a tireless life. The points of view, living a life based on points of view, is completely exhausting, fatiguing, and leads absolutely nowhere. but to rest as awareness, now this is a real paradox, to rest as awareness is the source of tirelessness. So, what's the choice? It's just like me, you know, I'm at the age, in many countries, people my age are supposed to retire. You know, they're just supposed to kind of fade into the background and so exhausted from all their points of view that they have to retire. And so they're supposed to be kind of getting tired and not have as much energy and that sort of thing. But, you know, I am busy all the time, so to speak, 24 hours a day. But there's no end to the energy. There's no end to the energy. So all these things, they're just points of view. It's a make-believe world that's been created out of forever empty stainless space. And whatever we want in our make-believe world, we can have in our make-believe world. If we want to pay attention to all our points of view, and that's great. It's, you know, these little worlds children play with where they say, oh, you know, you're the mommy and the daddy. And in India, a lot of the children, their toys are just sticks and old tires and things like that. In other countries, children have all these elaborate plastic worlds they can play in, but it doesn't make any difference. We continue that on through our whole lives, playing like children in a make-believe world with all these fantasy figures about everything that's going on if we don't understand the fundamental nature of our being. It's no different. Just because we stretch out our physique into a larger form doesn't mean that the behavior has changed at all. But it, you know, it doesn't really matter what you do. You don't have to contrive your life in any way. Whatever your current circumstances are and your current thoughts and emotions are, they're perfect for resting as awareness. That's evidence of how benevolent timeless awareness is, how loving timeless awareness is. Whatever the appearances are in your thoughts and emotions and experience, they're a perfect opportunity for resting as awareness. They're already inseparable from awareness, so why seek awareness elsewhere? Why seek awareness elsewhere? Wherever you live, you know, maybe you think, oh, I have to go to India to rest as awareness or to find some way to rest as awareness, but wherever you are, there you are. And wherever you are, that's the perfect place to rest as awareness. Whatever your thoughts are, I don't know if any of you have noticed this. I know some of you have. The thoughts and emotions are unpredictable. That means they cannot be predicted. They cannot be determined. That you might say, I'm never going to think about that again, but the next thing you know, you're thinking about that again or having emotions about it. In awareness, all the dynamic energy of that awareness is called points of view. And just like the brilliance of a diamond is inseparable from the diamond, so the brilliance of the dynamic energy of points of view is inseparable from awareness. They can't be separated out from each other. But, you know, there's nothing to do. There's really nothing to do. It's just like if you think you're poor but you're lying in a bed of fabulous jewels, it just means that you don't recognize the value of jewels. And the same is true with resting as awareness. Unless we recognize the value of that, we'll continue to feel that we're impoverished by all of our thinking and emotions, that they're troublesome things somehow that can get one over on us. But, you know, no matter how much pain your thoughts and emotions have caused you, when those thoughts and emotions come up, and they will, just rest. There's nothing that needs to be done about them. You know, some of the greatest beings have written things like, throughout all of my life, and these are people who were considered living Buddhas during their lifetime or are considered living Buddhas now, they'd say things like, all of my life my mind raged with the five poisons. And, you know, we wonder, well, now how could this be so? How could all of their lives they be filled with anger, fear, ignorance, jealousy, and pride, which are the five poisons? How could they be filled with the five poisons and be a living Buddha? Well, you know, I hope we've answered that question here today. It's just that nothing needs to change. It's in the realization of the two aspects of every appearance that the label is a label of forever empty, originally pure, stainless, flawless knowing. It's in that all points of view are resolved, not in making points of view into certain kinds of points of view. So when great beings say this, it's not a way of saying, oh, I'm a stupid loser. Everyone else thinks I'm a living Buddha, but, you know, really, because of the quality of my thoughts, I'm not. I'm a loser. They just think that, but that isn't really what's going on. It's a very powerful teaching. What it states is that nothing needs to change, and that the points of view will continue on just whatever they are. However, in their label, they mean nothing. In their label, they mean nothing. In abiding and resting as flawless awareness, all is seen as flawless awareness, and then eventually all is known as flawless awareness, no matter what it is. And that is wisdom. That is complete wisdom. It's the complete wisdom that is at the basis of all appearances, no matter what they are. When we allow that to be the case, we're simply acknowledging that it's so. And in doing so, we acknowledge ourselves as wisdom beings rather than people lost in a personal identity. And then who knows where we'll be of benefit, but I'll tell you what, you'll know. You'll know where you're to be of benefit. It'll just naturally occur, and it'll just be whatever it is. It'll be whatever it is. But just know that any solution to anything, whether it's science, quantum physics, string theory, health care, education, war and peace, politics, whatever it is, there are very, very powerful solutions to everything, no matter what it is, that cannot be thought of from point of view. They just cannot possibly be thought of from point of view. However, from flawless wisdom, there are the solutions that are beyond causation that no one's ever thought of. So how about some of those for our own life and troubling states, as well as those of the entire species? As long as we think that points of view are real and they have an independent nature, then all of them will be ghosts and demonic spirits. also, you know, when we hear these terms, it's important to think of them in an ultimate way. There's not a single thing that ever was, is, or will be that has an independent nature, that has ever existed as something in its own right.